May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 277. Now I see, whate'er betide, all is well, if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. 277. book of Ruth, chapters 2 and 3. Ruth, chapter 2 and chapter 3. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. And thou shalt go in, and uncover his feet, and lay thee down. And he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight, that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley, and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, We do need thee now to rend the heavens and to come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy sweet presence. And as we gather on this beautiful Sabbath morn, we do pray, Lord, as we are favoured with the sunshine in the earth, that we may know in our souls the sweet shining of the Sun of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Oh Lord, we do come just as we are before thee. Thou seest each of our inmost needs, the burdens that thy people carry. They're all known to thee. And as we venture, Lord, into thy courts, we pray thou wilt come where each one is and suit thyself to every sinner's case. May none be empty, sent away. May there be a sweet token for good granted to thy seeking, longing people. And that thou wilt speak to each of our souls, that we might hear thy voice. Lord, the spouse proved how sweet thy mouth was, and the words that flowed from it. We pray as we gather today that thy spirit may rule our spirit, that we may have the mind and the spirit of Christ, and that we may be humbled in the dust. Lord, we come as sinners. We've nothing to bring of ourselves. One said our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. But we would come pleading the precious name of Jesus. That name that prevails above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. We pray that thou wilt blot out our many, many sins, our many transgressions. Do grant to us, we beseech thee, and heart to truly confess our sin, and heart to mourn over our sin before thee, a heart to plead for mercy. We pray for that God-given repentance to be given to us, that we may be as dear Job when he said, I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. We pray for the application of thy precious blood, that precious blood that shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Do seal pardon and peace to each of thy sin-sick people. As we gather, Lord, we would come with a true spirit of thanksgiving. We thank thee for delivering dear Sarah and granting her and Tim a little daughter. And we do thank thee for sparing life and granting life. Do bless the little babe and bless the dear parents. We would praise thy holy name. We pray that each of the little ones may be raised up to be vessels of mercy, those that shall yet fear thy holy name. And oh, that the prayers of the dear parents may be heard and answered for their dear children, and that each of the young ones may be kept from all the snares and dangers of this world, and that thou wilt raise up yet a seed that shall serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Now we pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt work in each one as thou didst in dear Ruth that we have read of. And may we each have the religion that she had, and cleave to thee and to thy truth and thy people, thy ways and the old paths. Now do remember the dear young people. We pray thou wilt go before them and supply their need both in providence and in grace. May they be helped to commit their way to thee, to cast all their burdens upon thee, and leave all that concerns them in thy hand. Who provide God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives. We thank thee, dear Lord, for those thou hast joined together. We pray for those that have the marriage before them, Lord. We pray that thou wilt go before them and be with them. And oh, may thy blessing rest upon each one. Dear Lord, we would pray for those that are laid aside in affliction. Many are in weakness and much affliction, dear Lord. We pray for that healing and restoring, and that there may be thy hand seen in all these things, sanctifying the afflictions and troubles of thy people. And may they prove that thou canst make the bitter sweet and at the rough places plain. And, O Lord, we do seek for those heavenly blessings in our souls to assure us that we're in that narrow way, that thou hast begun thy work in us. May we never be left to climb up some other way, or have a religion that's of our own making, or we've just grown up in. But may we be given that heavenly diligence to make our calling and election sure. We remember, Lord, each one that needs thee. Some may be in a special way. We pray that thou wilt come and appear for them and supply that need. May they prove what the dear hymn writer said and have that faith to believe it. My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. We pray, dear Lord, for those that are tried and tempted and buffeted by Satan and by sin. Thou knowest the inward conflict, Lord, the warfare there is within. We pray there would appear that grace may triumphant reign. Dear Lord, do bring to fruition the exercises of thy people that are real. May there yet be others constrained to follow thee here and to go near and join themselves to this journey. And may it be so in our own flock, Lord. Do help thy dear servant with them today, especially in all his need. And oh, may may be thy messenger to them, and may it be a good day in thy courts, there and here and throughout Zion. We pray for thee to bless thy servants as they venture forth, and that thou wilt clothe the word through them with divine power. And O Lord, do bless Zion at large, and what we long for here and in our own flock, we would pray for Zion still, that there may be many born again. There may be an awakening of many sinners round, even in this village, and throughout the villages and towns and cities of this nation, Lord. There may be a real turning to the Lord, and may it please thee to lift up those that are cast down, and those that may have a special case today. Oh, do come where they are. And do remember, Lord, the nation in all its wickedness and sin. We beg of thee to appear as thou hast done thus far. And oh, as we look back and think of those deliverances thou hast given to the land, Lord. Oh, we pray for a truly thankful heart, and to be thankful for present, and yet ask for more. Thou wilt yet work in our leaders and rulers, and bring them to fear thy holy name, and to seek thy face. And oh, may we have a good exit from the European Union. Thou hast heard the prayers of many thus far. And we pray thou wilt provide yet for this land. And may we stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We would pray for a heart to praise thee for all thy mercies. And we would seek to crown thee Lord of all. And do anoint us to speak a few things this day in thy holy name. We pray for voice to speak, a hearing ear to thy people, and more that thy name may be honoured and glorified. Who bless the deacons and help them in the choice of the hymns. And may there be a sweet flowing together to the goodness of the Lord. And oh, may there be a crumb from the Master's table for our soul and the souls of thy people. We may go on our way rejoicing. May we not just beat the air, dear Lord, or spend our strength for naught. And oh, may we hear thy voice. We would pray with the psalmist, leave not my soul destitute. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Make up in giving where we fail in asking. Forgive what's been amiss. And help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 324. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide, the Scripture assures us, the Lord will provide. 324.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of Ruth, chapter 3 and verse 11. The book of Ruth, chapter 3 and verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. The book of Ruth, chapter 3 and verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people that know that thou art a virtuous woman. We have throughout this sacred book the wonderful record given by the Holy Spirit of how wonderfully the Lord works for his dear people. And I kept thinking this morning of that word in the Psalms, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. And we can see step by step here throughout this book how wonderfully the Lord worked for dear Ruth. And I want us helped, first of all this morning, to remind you of a few of those steps. Because those steps were wonderfully ordered by the Lord. It wasn't by chance that Elimelech and Naomi went down into Moab. We know, and there's this very solemn side to it, that the Lord dealt very bitterly with dear Naomi for going. But you see, the Lord wonderfully balances things. We read in the book of Job, dost thou know the balancing of the clouds, the wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge? And here the Lord was to deal very solemnly with Naomi in it all, in the great losses she was to experience. But there was to be a balancing. And that part of the balancing was the Lord should bring her back and bring Ruth back with her. And dear Naomi was a very faithful character. And look how faithful she was to her daughters-in-law that had been bereaved of their husbands. She didn't try and encourage them to go back with her in a natural way. She put everything against it, really. She told them, return to thy gods and to thy people. You see, she wanted them to be brought out of Moab by the Lord and not anything to do with her. And you know, if we've got a real religion, we won't ever be kept from the flesh getting into things. We can understand it naturally. She had a great love to Orpah and to Ruth. But She didn't want the natural affections to draw them. She wanted the Lord to do it all. And we read that, and they both wept, Orpah and Ruth, over this. But then we find the dividing line coming between them. Orpah, we read, kissed her mother-in-law. Ruth clave unto her. It's a beautiful word, that is, isn't it? But Ruth clave unto her. And that cleaving was not just natural in the sense that Naomi was her mother-in-law. It was a true cleaving God had given to her, a special love in her, to dear Naomi, in the things of God. And this was to be wonderfully manifested. And I just want to tarry upon this, but Ruth clave unto her. You see, Orpah went back to her gods and to her people because that's where her heart was, back in Moab. And you see, Moab was really a type of the world today. There was much sin there, much idolatry, much worldliness and lasciviousness and sin. And is it not so today? And this is where Orpah's heart was, and that's where man's heart is by nature. He wants the world and the things of time and doesn't want to consider eternity. But it was different with Ruth. We read, but Ruth clave unto her. There was a special relationship, you see, between Ruth and Naomi. Naomi was a beautiful type of the Church of God, the Lord's people. Now let us put this to the test in your heart and mine, and the Lord is the witness. What are you cleaving to? And what am I? Are we like Ruth? She didn't just cleave to Naomi. She clave to Naomi's God. Oh, she did. And what did she say? Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. She clave close to Naomi's God. She wanted the same God that Naomi had, which was the living God of heaven, to be her God. What about you and me? Is that our longing and desire? Do we want to cleave to the Lord and cleave to his people and cleave to his word? You see, when she clave to these things and clave to the narrow way and to the old paths, she didn't want to depart from it like Orpah did. She stood close to Naomi in everything, the vital things of God. There was no deviating in Ruth. You know, we live in a day where Mr. John Gosden said once, he said, you know, there are many people, and that was 40 years ago, I suppose, or more. He said, there are many people in the denomination, they sit on the fence. You don't know which way they're going to jump. He said they're not really cleaving to the Lord and to his word and to the old paths. The real child of God will be like dear Ruth. And we need, you see, to be kept like it. We cannot keep ourselves. It was the Lord had worked so in Ruth, drawn her right out of Moab. It meant nothing to her. We sing in the hymn, don't we, of leaving the deceitful ways of the world and of man, the deceitful ways of sin, and cleaving to the Lord. So this was how the Lord had worked. The first step was he brought her out of Moab. Think of that word, the steps. And when the Lord brings his people out of the world, he'll bring them out clean. We know there's that in our old nature that cleaves to this and cleaves to that. But in our souls, he'll bring the sinner out clean. He did Ruth. She had to leave it all, you see. I often think of that, you know, because when the Lord spoke to the dear disciples while he was upon the earth, he said to them two words, and they are these: follow me. And you know, they're blessed words, but they're very searching and very discriminating. And what do we read the effect of those words were? They left all and followed him. We don't read they left some things, they left all. Now, when Ruth came out with dear Naomi, that first step was she got to leave it all. Not some of it. And you think in your heart and mind, we need much grace, don't we, to leave everything. Can we say, and I remember, and I don't say it in any way to lift up oneself, but I remember many years ago in my teenage days, I was in Chatham, and I went to the house of God, and the dear servant of the Lord, he spoke much of his sermon on those words, I can and may we lay it to heart today, about leaving all and following him. And he said, can you say, I can from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee? And you know, at that time, I could say it, but there was one idol that I had, which I couldn't leave. And you know, it caused me much exercise. I came out of that house of prayer, Lord, do take it away. And you know, on the way to a friend's house in Rochester, the Lord took it away. I remember walking up the garden in that house garden, and I said, and I put my arms up and said to the Lord, Lord, take me home to glory. I don't want to sin anymore. I can from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. It's a blessed place to be brought, you know, and I've never forgot it. And dear Ruth, you see, she was willing to leave it all. And who had made her willing? She hadn't been made willing by Naomi or any man. The Lord had made her willing to leave it all, Moab, and to venture in the narrow way. And the same applied, you know, and it's a very important point. And the same applied with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. They had to leave everything of Egypt behind. and venture forth in that narrow way through the wilderness to the promised land. They had to forsake it all. And oh, may we lay that to heart this morning. I think of that step, you see, the steps of a good man. They're ordered by the Lord. And the Lord has so ordered it with Ruth that she got to leave it all. The second step was she got to cleave to Naomi, to God's people. What do we read? We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That doesn't mean to say you always agree with them, but you're cleaved to them. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, and the Lord often works it in the heart of a young person to cleave close to the Lord, cleave close to Naomi, the Church of God, cleave close to God's word. You know, if you need any word of direction or encouragement or whatever it may be, is all found in the word of God, and you're cleave close to it because there's everything you need, you see. And then there's a cleaving to the narrow way. And dear Ruth clave to it, you know. It was a narrow path back to Bethlehem, Judah. But then the third thing was this. The Lord was to wonderfully lead her to the field of Boaz. Now let us ever remember what we may say concerning this, that Boaz was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus. And particularly what we've said in the way of a text and named it this morning. Because everything that dear Ruth was to need, he would supply. Boaz had everything she needed. Now, let us just tarry upon this field where she was led. She was led to the right field, wasn't she? She could have gleaned in any other, but the Lord wonderfully led her there to glean. And nothing was to move her from it. And you look how lovingly Boaz spoke to her, go not to glean in any other field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. It's a very clear word, wasn't it, for her? And it might be a clear word to us today, and some of you young ones, you see, don't deviate in this. Sure, there was no deviating in Ruth. She had to cleave close to the field of Boaz. And in that field of Boaz, you know, how wonderfully she was to glean. The hymn writer said, don't we, read it and sing it, ye gleaners one and all. Now she wanted real corn. She wasn't satisfied with just the husk, was she? She wanted to be a real gleaner. Wonderful thing, you know, to be a gleaner in the field of God's house. Let's name two fields just to illustrate it briefly. She was to glean in God's house. The field of Boaz was a beautiful type of the house of God, you know. Real gleaners glean, you see. Sometimes they glean, looking at it naturally, when she went forth, there were places where there's no doubt she gleaned quite a lot in that field. The gleaners were to pick up the ears of corn that were that dropped to the floor, the ground, when the harvest men, the reapers, cut the corn. You often, if you go behind a combine out in a field, you often see there's a ear of corn here and there that has dropped. And these gleaners, you know, they used to go and they glean. It's amazing how much you can glean. But we know it's not so relevant today. But in those days, you see, this was a wonderful time, the harvest. And they gleaned. Now, there was something special about this with Ruth. Because Boaz had said to the reapers, let fall some handfuls of purpose. And you know, when I look back and think of the old preachers in my early days, you know, they often used to say, well, we'll let this fall for some poor sinner. You see, there was a purpose in letting it fall that she might particularly glean. And have you not sat in the house of God and gleaned from the preaching of the word, from the reading of the word, or it may be some line in the hymn, and there's such gleaning, you see, it satisfies the need of the hungry soul, looking at it spiritually. And these reapers were let fall, these handfuls of purpose, that she might particularly be blessed, you see. And oh, do we not long in this dark and solemn day for many to be especially favoured and blessed? And with a real gleaning time. A gathering in, you see. And how can the sinner gather in God's word or through the ministry or through the hymns or the reading or whatever it may be, they can glean it because faith will reach out for it. It wants to embrace it. It wants to receive it, you see. Now, dear Ruth was to glean in this field. It was a wonderful step, you know, in her experience. There's no doubt she never forgot that first gleaning time. And you know, and it was in the field of Boaz. But oh, look at the kindness Boaz showed toward her. I think of that beautiful word in the prophecy of Isaiah. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. This is what the Lord says. This is what Boaz showed to Ruth. They that once his kindness prove, find it everlasting love. And this is what it was here. The love Boaz had to her and letting fall these handfuls of purpose and blessing. His kindness. And you know, we have today a kind and loving Saviour who is the same yesterday, today and forever. You know, there was further steps for her. But before I name the next, what did Ruth feel while she was in that field of Boaz? Well, she experienced his kindness, as I have said, but she felt so unworthy. Oh, she did. And what did it, what do we read that she said? Let me find favour in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. Though I be not like one of thine handmaids. And then Boaz spoke to her at mealtime. He says, come thou hither and eat of the bread and drink, and dip the morsel of in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat. But what was so with me was how she fell at his on her face and bowed herself to the ground, we read. Why have I found favour in thy sight, seeing I am but a stranger? She felt so unworthy of all his kindness and goodness to her. We see here grace reigning, humility reigning in her, feeling so unworthy of his favours. You know, if the Lord really blesses you and favours you, you'll be just like her. Why, Lord, hast thou favoured me so when others are passed by? His favour, you see. And what did it do? It humbled her in the dust, and she could fall apart with her face to the ground, humbled under his mighty hand. And so the sinner will come like that, unworthy. But then the next step was this. She was to be brought into the threshing floor. And in this threshing floor, the feet of Boaz, she lay there. It's a very sacred place for the child of God to be lying at the feet of Jesus. Let us think of the heavenly Boaz lying at his feet. There's no room, you know, at the feet of Jesus for anything of self, anything of this world, anything of the flesh. She lay at his feet. And we see here something else. Sweet submission to the Lord's will. What do we sing in the hymn? To lie passive at his feet and know no will but thine. It's a sacred place, you know. Those of you who have been here will know exactly what I mean. You'll feel so unworthy, so favoured. But this wasn't all. And that leads me really to the text. Because she was to hear his voice. Well, let us begin by putting this to your heart and mine. Do we long to hear the voice of the dear Redeemer? How many times do you say, Lord, do speak? David knew it when he said, be not silent unto me, O God, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Dear Ruth was to hear the words of Boaz. And what were they? What is in our text? And now, my daughter. The time had come, you see. There's a time for the Lord to speak. And when he speaks, the sheep know his voice. And when he speaks, there's a blessed savour with what he speaks. And when he speaks too, there's divine power with the word. So the sinner will never forget it. And too, the word that he speaks will be applied with power in the soul. And now, my daughter. It's a beautiful word, this, and now. You know, there are times where we need something now, isn't it? It's like a little babe when that's hungry. It's no use in mother saying, well, we'll leave it an hour. It needs it now. Because it's hungry. It's in deep need, and now. The time had come, you see, for Boaz to speak this beautiful word to her. And why was he to speak it? Because it was exactly what she needed. And you know, that's how suited the word is. When the Lord speaks the word, it'll be suited, like the hymn writer said, to every sinner's case. Now, I don't know why the Lord has laid this on me. It's been with me 2 or 3 days. I just cannot get away from it. And now, my daughter. Well, let us look at it just briefly. Firstly, and now. It reminds me of 2 vital nows in the Word of God. There are many others, but I just name these 2. First of all, when David was to give Solomon the charge to build the temple. You know, David had it in his heart to build the house of God, didn't he? But the Lord told him he would not build it because he was a man of war and of blood. And you read in the book of Chronicles that beautiful chapter when David gave all the charge to Solomon and it was the Lord speaking, really. The measurements and everything, all in detail. And what did David say to Solomon? And now, my son, the Lord be with thee. And prosper thou in building the house of the Lord thy God. The time had come for him to build it, you see. And now, my son, the Lord be with thee. And prosper thou in building the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. The time had come. And that was vital to Solomon, you know. But think of it concerning the Apostle Paul in a completely different circumstance. When he was to leave the church at Ephesus. And oh, look at the sorrow and tears and weeping there were in the church at Ephesus when he told them he was going up to Jerusalem. But what did he say to them? And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. And now, brethren, you'll find with David speaking that to Solomon, my son. The apostle is saying to them at Ephesus, brethren, and here we have it, and now, my daughter. What does it set before us? Well, in my little understanding, this, the wonderful relationship there was between them. Think of this wonderful relationship there was here between dear Boaz and Ruth. My daughter. And think of it far greater so the Lord Jesus speaking to his dear children. Is there a daughter here or a son? You see, David said, and now my son. It's personally to be applied, you see. And may the Lord whisper that to your soul and mine. There may be one here today who say, am I one of the Lord's children? Do come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee. You want the Lord to tell you, you're one of his sons, one of his daughters. Well, this is what the Lord spoke through Boaz to Ruth. And now, my daughter, he claims her. Just as David did to Solomon, and now my son. Or as the apostle did, and now brethren. You see, he'd walk with them as really an under-shepherd for 3 years. They were his brethren. But now, he claims. And oh, may the Lord to some doubting, trembling sinner this morning whisper this, and now, my daughter, my daughter. You know, that has settled the matter in your soul if the Lord tells you that, won't it? You think of going to the book of Proverbs, you can read it many times, where Solomon, the wise man of God, what does he say? My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, neither faint when thou art rebuked of him. My son, my daughter. Well, the Lord knows how many need it this morning. And oh, we need it continually, the Lord to claim us, you see. And when he does, oh, what a favour that be. Because these sons, you see, and daughters of the Lord are heirs of the kingdom. Oh, they are. And if we're his sons or his daughters, it means we have a heavenly Father. We read, don't we, what Jesus said in Matthew 6. That beautiful word, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And now, my daughter, fear not, fear not. Now, I don't know what fears you may have this morning, child of God, but the Lord does. The hymn writer said, didn't he, why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship, spreads the sails to catch the breezes sent to waft us through the deep to the regions where the mourners cease to weep. Those fears. And you see, whenever the Lord speaks, as he does in this word of our text, fear not. It's spoken to the child of God that's full of fear. Oh, it is. And it may be, and I could list a whole catalogue of fears you may have, but the Lord knows what that fear is. And here's the sweet answer to it, you see. Fear not. Fear not. Let me use an illustration or two regarding this. I think of dear Jairus when the message came from the messenger that his daughter lay dead. And oh, the fears, what really we may say, what he so feared had come to pass, didn't it? That she would die. And the message came, trouble not the master, thy daughter is dead. Oh, the fears. But what did Jesus say to him? As soon as the Saviour heard it, what did he say? Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. He immediately came to that dear troubled man to settle him, to calm his troubled heart. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. He silenced the dear man's fears in a moment. And yet it looked an impossibility. Well, it was impossible with Jairus. It may be you're in something this morning. It's impossible with you. But fear not. Oh, how the Lord in his love and mercy and goodness speaks the fear not to the real child of God. And he knows when to speak it. And he knows how to calm those fears in you. Oh, he does. I remember some years ago going to one of our chapels and almost leave it, but to preach, and the Lord gave me that word, what he spoke to Jairus. Fear not, believe only. There was a dear lady that was there, and she was expecting a baby, and it was her first, and she was 45, I think, if I remember rightly. Because of her age and many things that seemed to be against her, and yet she longed for a child, and oh, the fears. And you know the devil knows how to work many fears in you. It may be in your soul, you got them this morning. It may be concerning the things of providence. It may be in the family. It may be things concerning the church, or it may be things concerning your pathway. Those fears. But you know, I preach from that word, and you know, she's never forgot it. The Lord wonderfully brought her through the deliverance and blessed her with a daughter. But oh, how he calmed her fears that night. It was just as though the Lord came down, and he did. And he said to her, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And he brought her right the way through, you know. And that she proved what the Lord said. And this is what dear Ruth was to. She could truly say, and may you and I be able to say, we've proved it. He can calm every fear. And he can do it in a moment. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread, and there may be many, are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. So he calms dear Ruth with this word. Fear not. You know, some beautiful promises, and I must leave it, but in that, I've opened on it, so here it is. In that 41st chapter of Isaiah, and I'll leave you with it for your meditation this morning. Three times within a few verses, the Lord spoke that to his troubled church. The first, in verse 10, he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then in verses 13 and 14, he says this, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And when the Lord speaks that poor soul, he will fulfill it in every jot and tittle. fear not, thou worm Jacob. And that's just how the church was feeling at that time, but a worm. And that's how you may feel today. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £740, for which we are truly thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. And Mr. Gerald Buss is expected to preach at our Thanksgiving services on Saturday at 3 o'clock and 6:15. And the collections will be for the Oakington Repair Fund. And Mr. Gerald Buss is also expected to preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 667. Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. 667.
Dear Lord, do pardon and forgive anything that thy pure eyes have seen in me. Do come over the poverty of our poor, feeble attempts. Bless thy own word. Be with us now in the interval. Come up with us again this evening, if it would please thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.